Have a seat. And it's really great to come up here and be able to share the wonderful truths of God's Word, looking at such beautiful, shining faces of Christ within you. You know, we have such a great privilege in this day and time to know the Word that we know, and to know the Word that we know about ourselves, first and foremost, in our relationship with God, and then what we know that lies within each and every one of us. So it's just a great privilege to share the Word of God with you, and I sure love you guys. And it's wild, isn't it? Can't believe I got in the Word almost 30 years ago. Whoo! And I'm still here. It's because it's real, you know? I learned in a class called Power for Abundant Living that the key to power is the renewed mind. In a Christian's life, the renewing of the mind is your key to power. To renew our minds, it isn't just to acknowledge the Word. It isn't even just to know the Word. It isn't even just to study the Word, but it is to live the Word. To renew one's mind, you hold the Word in your mind, and then you act accordingly. You change your actions. Go to Romans chapter 2. The battlefield is certainly in the mind. The thoughts that we are fed, the desires that we have, the ideas that we come up with. Sometimes we think they're such great ideas, don't we? Well, maybe you guys don't do that. I do that. I come up with this great idea, and then I go, Barn, listen to this great idea. And he goes, Vic, I think we need to pray about this. That's my clue. Okay, I haven't really thought this through well enough. We come up with all these thoughts, but you know what? We have to take those thoughts to God's Word. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm sorry, 12, what did I say? Oh, excuse me. Fred, can you back that tape up? No. God, don't you just hate that when you're sharing the Word and they're recording you and it's mailed out across the country and then you blow it? Jeez! Okay, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's only one way to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in our lives, and that is to hold the Word in our minds and act accordingly. And that act accordingly is a huge key. You guys, we have to change how we think. We have to change how we think about ourselves, first and foremost. We're going to get into that. To be not conformed, the words be not conformed here in the King James Version is in the passive form. But in the Greek, it would be rendered in the middle voice form, where the subject acts upon itself. So it would be read better and stop conforming yourselves to this world. See, before we become born again of God's Spirit, we are conformed to this world by habits. That's the only thing we have to draw information from. Without Spirit, we're body and soul only. So our senses take the input. Ever see that movie? What was the name of that movie, Mike, where that little computer ran around and goes, input, input. Short circuit. You know, it's this little computer, and it wants input, input, and it would read. That's all we had. We had our five senses to give us input. But once we're born again of God's Spirit, we need to stop identifying ourselves with the things of this world because we are body, soul, and spirit. The fashions and the schemes of this world is the old man nature. We put those off. We put the old man off. We put the new man on. The spiritual reality of who we are is real. See, it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation is already done, people. Think about it. body, soul, and then you get spirit. Everything that you are spiritually comes with that gift of Holy Spirit. Everything that you have, all the power that you need is in that gift. And it is a gift. It's by grace. But as you renew your mind, and I renew my mind to the greatness of God's word, that spiritual reality of Christ in us comes to the surface. It becomes manifested in the acts that we perform. That's the greatness of the transformation. God's already changed us. And when God does something, nobody can do a better job, right? He put that Christ within us. We're already everything the Word says we are. But to bring that to the surface, we have to change our ideas, our thoughts, our ways, our feelings when they don't line up with God's Word and put those things of Christ on. And we're going to see that as we go through the Word. How do you do this? You know, how do you renew your mind? I used to believe that you renewed your mind by just changing your thinking about the circumstance. That's not how you renew your mind. First of all, you got to study God's word. Second of all, you got to recognize your position in Christ. We got to practice the presence of God. And we have to live with the love of God in manifestations in our lives. The love of God has to be manifested in our life in order to walk in the renewed mind state. And it is available to do that. Is it easy? Not always. Sometimes it is. It's just a matter of changing your mind. Oh, that's dumb. I don't need to be angry. You know why I don't need to be angry? Because it's not who I am. The one I really want to focus on today is the number two one. Number two, our position in Christ. I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. One of the reasons I wanted to focus in on this one today is I've been looking at the word in the area of who I am in Christ. And it's one thing I think that causes great growth in a Christian's life is when they really go to God's word and they really see who they are in Christ. Luke chapter 4. You guys there? It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. But when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. You know what? He really didn't care whether Jesus Christ turned bread into stone or not, or stone into bread, or scorpions into... He could have cared less. You know what he was after? His sonship. Who he really was. And you know what? That's what he does to us today. Are you really righteous? Do you really deserve healing? Do you really deserve forgiveness? Are you really more than a conqueror in every situation? I mean, we hit bumps in the road. God doesn't promise us there's not going to be bumps. God promises victory. But we live that victory, we manifest that victory in our lives in direct proportion to who we believe we are in Christ. That's why this is so important. This is the first thing the adversary tempted Jesus Christ with. But it wasn't the last time he tempted him. Look at how the scribes and Pharisees, just read the Gospels. They were always after him, you know, if you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God, do that. Those were people, but who were operating those people? With their unbelief, their anger, their emotions, their denial of the Christ, was the adversary questioning him, who he is, what right does he have? You know, to the point that they put him to death. No, they didn't. To the point that they took him and crucified him, but he gave up his life. And you know why he did that? Because he knew who he was and his purpose and what God had called him to do, because he knew the scriptures. It is so vitally important for us to know our position in Christ. to see who we are in Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, Ephesians talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, doesn't it? I'm going to tell you something, people. This isn't just pages on a piece of paper. I mean, words on a piece of paper. It really isn't. We really do have a personal adversary that wants to rob us of the Word of God, of who we are in Christ, of our prosperity, of our health. You know what? Don't let him, because he has no legal right. And the more you understand that and the more you see that from God's Word, the more you're going to believe it. And the more you believe, the greater God can work. It's really that simple. That's the key to power, is understanding the Scriptures and putting them on in our minds and acting accordingly. Confessions. Man, the stuff that come out of people's mouths sometimes, it just kind of blows my mind. You know, sometimes I'll just sit at the mall and listen. And I'm amazed at how much negative, stupid comments come out of people's mouths because they don't know the truth. What a field to witness in. Deanna talked about witnessing. There's a good one. Just go have a cup of coffee at Starbucks in the mall. And you'll find people who need to know. And some of them might even be meek. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what? The more we look into God's Word, the more we're going to see who we are in Christ. The more we see who we are in Christ, when we look in the mirror physically at oneself, which is what that means, beholding in the glass, means looking at oneself in the mirror. You know what you're going to start to see? The Christ in yourself. And I guarantee you something. If you don't see it in you, you ain't going to see it in me. And that's really the truth. Remember what Jesus Christ talked about? You love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself and understand the greatness of who you are and how important your life is to God and Christ and to the body of believers that you are a part of to minister to, you know what? You won't believe it about me or any other brother and sister in the Word. First time I make you mad, I'll be history. And you'll be finding a way to keep me history. But when you understand who you are in Christ and what God has done for you in the work of Jesus Christ, it's not hard for you to see it in me. Because you know what? I don't get any better than Christ. You don't get any better than Christ. The flesh, the mistakes. Well, that's going to sound good on the tape, huh? Well, I'm really taping this morning. You know what? Those things don't matter when you stack that up next to Christ. We all make mistakes. But you're going to see the things of Christ that we're to put on towards one another. We need to know our position. 1 John chapter 3. This is a familiar verse. First John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We should be called the sons of God. That was God's desire for us. That wasn't my idea. That was God's idea. My part is to believe it and act like a son of God. Look in verse 2. Behold, now are we the sons of God. And I tell you what, if you look at that word behold, or in verse 1, the behold in verse 1, that is not just like glance. That is like in a very intense form. It is like, I'm not going to do it because it'll break your vision. I mean, just like, look! It's intense. God wants you to look at what manner of love he has for you. And then, beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those are living spiritual realities in us. Now, to get them out, manifested in our lives, we have to act like this. Look at Ephesians. I mean, isn't this great, you guys? I mean, it's like you can wake up in the morning and you can make a decision. Do I feel like what I feel like? And am I going to behave that way today? Am I going to really think my whole day through like this? Am I going to be bummed out, disappointed, disillusioned? Or you can look in the mirror and say, hey, you know what? I am God's kid. I'm beloved. God picked me, and I said, hey, okay. I'm coming. So you know what? You got to walk accordingly. You got to move in that direction towards your heavenly Father. Put off that feeling. Talk yourself out of it. Have you ever done that? Okay, I'm going to tell you something about myself. I talk to myself. I know some of you already know this because you've caught me. But you know what? I literally have to sometimes do that to make my mind do what I know the Word wants me to do. Because our feelings can be very powerful. Think about the last time you got really, really, really ticked off at somebody. Did you feel it, brother? You know? Yeah. I bet you did. But that's contrary to your nature. That's not who you are in Christ. That's not who you are. So you got to make the decision to put it off. Ephesians chapter 1. This is who we are. I love it. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're holy. We're holy. We're without blame. Does it say we're perfect? It says we're without blame. And we're not without blame and holy because of our works. We're without blame and holy because of the works of Jesus Christ. But see, once you get born again of God's Spirit, those works live within you. Now it's up to you and me to get them out here so people see them. You know, it's who we are. It's what God has made us to be. And we decide moment by moment, day by day, whether we're going to believe it. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And you know what? When I was a babe in the Word, when I first got involved in the Word, I thought, man, I'm saved by grace. I can do anything I want. That's no big deal. What? So what? I mean, Jesus Christ paid the price. I can do whatever I want. I want to get drunk? I can get drunk. I want to smoke pot? I can smoke pot. If I want to, like, you know, kind of manipulate somebody and cheat them so I come out on top, I can do that, and I'm still saved by grace. Well, that's a child. That's the way a child thinks. They don't think about the big picture. But you know what? The more you come to this Word, the more you realize who you are in Christ, the more you see the greatness of your importance to God and to this body of believers, you won't frustrate the grace of God by behavior that is unbecoming to you as Christ's child. You have Christ within you. That is not who you are. Could you see Jesus Christ walking around drunk downtown? Could you see Jesus Christ stealing from somebody, lying to somebody? Of course not. Because we know what the scriptures say about him. And he was God's only begotten son. If anybody could have gotten away with it, he could have. Well, we could too. And sometimes we do. But that's not who we are. Think about who you are. Think about who you represent. Man, oh man, you are so much greater than this world will ever know. But who cares what this world thinks? I care what God thinks. And that's where we should keep our hearts and our heads, because when we're challenged, when we're tempted, when the adversary comes at us, that is what we need in order to back him off. What did Jesus Christ do? Did he reason with him? Did he play games with him? No, he spoke the word of God to him. And it says that the adversary left him for a season. It doesn't say he left him alone forever. It's a moment-by-moment decision to believe the word about who you are and to act accordingly. And there is power in that. You won't get talked out of having an abundant life. You'll look at the principles from the word, you'll operate those principles, and God will bring to pass what God has promised. Healing. Growth in the word. What is it? What do you need? God says everything that pertains unto life and godliness is right here. But you know what? If you don't recognize who you are in Christ, the adversary will talk you out of the things that you rightfully, legally deserve. So that's why this is so important. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Verse 11 says, being filled, which is we have been filled. It's past tense. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So the next time the adversary tries to talk you out of your righteousness, back him down with this verse. Because it's all right here in the mind. That's why I talk to myself. Because I've got to get my mind tracking with God's word, so when my enemy comes at me, I back him off. I have to back him off. And then God brings to pass the promise of his word. It's the key to power. It always has been, and it always will be, because the battlefield is right here. The reality of who you are in Christ is done. We don't get any bigger or any more powerful than we do when we get Holy Spirit. But when the more we believe God's word and the more we act accordingly in our lives, who we truly are, then we open that door for God to bring to pass his miracles. Boom, boom, boom. The word says miracles follow those who believe. That's what miracles. Follow those who believe. Dr. Werwell taught us that many, many years ago. And it's still true today. Let's see. As we learn who we are in Christ and we begin to put on the things of Christ, we put on the word. We line up our thinking with the word. Look at Romans chapter 13. Sometimes, you know, I kind of chuckle. Barney and I will talk, and it's kind of like, how many more classes do we need? You know, how much more knowledge do we need? We have so much, people. And I know in my own life, I'm still pushing myself to live it like maybe 50% of what I know. I mean, I have so much knowledge of the word, but that's not what brings to pass the promises of God in our life. That's not what allows me to manifest the things of Christ. They're in there, but my renewed mind, putting on the word of God, is what allows it to come out. Romans chapter 13, did I say? Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 again. I was telling somebody at the class the other night. She said, are you teaching Sunday? And they go, yeah, I'm teaching. So I'm going to teach on the renewed mind. Oh, that is great. And I'm like, you know, usually when I say I'm going to teach on the renewed mind, most people go, oh. Because you know what? We've heard this for years. Have we not heard about the renewed mind for years? Okay, how many of you walk day by day, moment by moment, in the perfectly renewed mind every single time you're awake? Okay, good. That's why I'm teaching on the renewed mind. Because until we get it to that point, we're not living what God's given us to live, people. Until we get to that point in our lives, we're living below what God promises us. And guess who wins when we do that? Yeah, we have a personal adversary. You don't think so? Look around. He's out there. Okay, it says in Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now, the old man here is used in the nature of Adam. The old man. You put off the old man. You know what the old man, you know why you want to put off the old man? Now, the old man, body and soul, no relationship with God, no hope, nothing but what the world has to offer. Nothing but what the world has to offer. That's the old man nature. That's what we put off. And he's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And this is what we put on. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. What does a new man have? A relationship with God. The power of God. The ability to walk and talk with God. The ability to heal and be healed. The ability to pray and see prayers answered. Whew. Okay, old man, new man. I mean, really, when you're thinking about it, what do you want? The guy dead without hope? Or who you really are in Christ? Man, this is serious stuff when you start looking at it, isn't it? It's not just pretty little Bible verses. This is about who we are and how we live. It says, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And you know what happens when we go with our feelings that are contrary to God's word, instead of renewing our minds to God's word, we give place to the devil in our lives. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Now, if God said to you, Willie, you got a brand new fishing boat out there at the dock, paid for, all expenses are paid for the next 20 years, and all you got to do is take this key that I write right here on your desk and go out there and start that boat and it's yours. Do you know how fast Willie would be at that boat? I know how fast Willie would be at that boat. I'd be right behind him. Why don't we take these other things of God as easily as we could take things in the census realm? Our righteousness, our ability to heal. Come on, we gotta kick ourselves up to the next level. We're not babes anymore in the Word. Not one person in this room is a baby in the Word. You know, we need to act like who we are, Christ. We need to love bigger. We need to forgive bigger. We need to watch the words that come out of our mouth. You know, you never know. I'm just in a conversation with someone. This happened to me the other day, sitting in a conversation with someone, kind of joking around, and somehow this comment was like, you know, Vicki, I don't care what people say. I really think you're great. I'm like, okay, I know that's supposed to be a compliment, right? I was like, okay. And then I kind of come back with, you know, because I'm into joking around. I kind of come back with a, yeah, well, most people like me. Most people say nice things about me. And then the next response was, well, I know a few that don't. Now, you know what? This individual didn't do that to hurt my heart. And I know that from the depth of my soul, I know that. But you know what happened? It did hurt my heart for about this long. And then I thought, okay, now, Vicki, get it together. That's not what it was intended to do. But you know what? Our words and our actions affect each other that way. Sometimes joking is cool, but sometimes it's not. Because you know what? I'd had a hard day that day. I was tired. I was a little what's the word? Vulnerable? You know, is that how you say it? You know, I'm an Okie. I can't say some of these words. Well, how do you say it, Willie? That's what I was. It's a little tired. Guard was down a little. Ding! Little old zing in there. But you know what? I've practiced this, and I know this works. So I got my head together, and I knew what the heart was in that situation, and I just forgave the situation and moved on. And I share it with you today because I want you to understand how powerful you are, how powerful your words are, how important you are because of the Christ in you and what we can do for one another in this body of believers. Recognizing your position in Christ is a deliberate decision that you must do by your freedom of will. To know the word is not enough. You must act upon it. It takes work. This decision is yours. Are you going to walk by the census realm, or are you going to walk by the revealed word of God? To walk victoriously in Christ is your God-given legal right. Don't give it away. Don't hand it back to the adversary because of your undisciplined, lazy mind. Get in here. There's so much more. There's such a greater walk to walk. And if we're growing with Christ in us and we're growing in our relationship with God, you know what? It's going to be manifested in our lives, guys. That's what we need to do for one another. Then God adds to the church daily because we're taking care of each other. Then God gives the increase when we speak that word because he sees the unity of purpose in the body concerning his word and his son. Ye are of God, little children, and had overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And every circumstance and every condition you will find yourself in as you walk this life, you hold the key to power. Don't give it up. Okay? God bless.